Okay, I'm just going to take a quick five to try and survey chapter 41 and go into 42 that Keith has. We read verse 1, and it says, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak, let us come near together to judgment." In other words, this is an invitation to the Gentile world, to a place of judgment before God to settle an issue. And to settle an issue with the intent that the nations might share in Israel's blessedness. The issue that was to be settled is who controls world history and its initiations and objectives and its progress. It's interesting to contemplate that phrase in verse 1, "Let the peoples renew their strength," because in the preceding verse, with Israel in mind, it was, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And so it's a remarkable thing that in Isaiah's day, there was a gospel in the prophet that went forth to the nations. God's intent was never just the salvation of Israel. The salvation of Israel always had in mind the blessedness to all the nation. So, as God calls them to settle the issue before them, and He does so that they might themselves participate in Israel's blessings, their response to it was horrendous. Verse 5. Those islands that were called to consider the issue of who is the ruler of history, who is the one who initiates its movements, and is ultimately behind the process and the progress of it, when they saw it, they feared. And that's a horrible thing. Takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, doesn't it? Adam himself. And what was Adam? What was it? "I heard your voice and I was afraid." The horror of human fear and how human fear has been used of the enemy to bring people away from the Lord. Rather than in their fear, looking to this God. And by the way, something important too to get a hold of is that Isaiah's message in his day was very confrontational, because it went against the face of the polytheistic interpretations of the world that all the nations had. They saw nations as possessing their own gods, and these gods having control over these geographical boundaries on earth and so on. And when nations conquered other nations, they then took their gods and subjugated them, because to them that was evidence that the gods that they worshiped were stronger and mightier than the other ones, you see. And so Isaiah's message was, there's only one. There's only one. There's only one. He's the one that controls it. And so his message went in the face of world opinion at that time and stood as a rebuke to commonly held concepts in his day. Certainly that fits us today as well in the gospel that we are preaching. So as God calls the nations to consider, the response is that they fear, and the ends of the earth were afraid. And what they did is, rather than coming to God, they rallied amongst themselves. And you're going to find that in their fear, they then erected their idols and put confidence in their idols to save them, and they put confidences in their alliances. And we think of our day, the United Nations and so on. We think of the concept of globalization. We think of the concept of trade unions and so on. And man seeking strength, seeking protection by uniting, by coming together, by forming man-made alliances to bring them security. The whole thing will come to nothing. And so you'll notice that verse 6, they helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, "Be of good courage."
And you see it all around us, even to our day. And that's how they function. Don't worry. Be happy. Huh? Don't worry. Be happy. My brother posts on Facebook, you know, health and happiness forever. And I always put down in reply, impossible without the Lord Jesus Christ. These are empty words, filled with empty promises. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. You know, no heaven above us, around us only sky. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Yeah, you might say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Huh? John Lennon, huh? And where is he now? Huh? And so, empty words without substance. This all being contrasted with the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The certainty of the fulfillment of the promises of God. And so, this is the response, sadly, of the Gentile nations and the peoples around in God's dealings with national Israel. Meant to bring them to consider Him. Meant to bring them to consider Him and enter into the blessedness that was promised to Israel. And rather than doing so, what do? They turn to their false hopes, to their idols, all man-made, all false idols that had to be nailed down in order to be fastened, you see, where the living God had said, but those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall never be moved. And so the horrible plight of human idolatry and the darkness that came into the Gentile world, and as a result, you'll see verse 24 of chapter 41, what God says is, behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught, an abomination is he that chooseth you. And so it's speaking of the idolater himself. Why does God hate idolatry? Because it brings to nothing and to ultimate destruction those that put their faith in them. Those that trust in idols are an abomination. Those that choose idols are an abomination to the heart of God. Idolatry is an affront to the truth and the faithfulness of the living God. And then you'll see in verse 29, not only is there idolatry, the idolater come to nothing and is he an abomination, but the idol themselves and all that they conjure up and all of man's reasonings and all of man's attempts at self-preservation and solving the problems of our world and mankind, all of them are vanity. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and what? Confusion. And so God sets that stage here, doesn't he? And he sets the stage showing to us the horror of the doom and the darkness of the Gentile world. And how will God overcome it? How will God triumph over it? And that's chapter 42 and verse 1, isn't it? Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And so this whole section, bringing before us the absolute darkness and doom and gloom of the nations and the condition that they were in without God in the world and therefore without hope, God's solution would be, behold my servant. Blessed be the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.